There's at least two levels of meaning in this morning's gospel. And the first one is the physical healing of the blind man Bartimaeus. There's numerous texts in the Old Testament, including this morning's first reading, that prophesy that the advent of the Messiah will be marked by the healing of the blind and the lame. And so Jeremiah prophesied that when the Messiah would come, Israel would see the triumph of those who live on the margin. And so today's gospel, this physical healing of this blind man by Jesus Christ, is a sign of his messiahship, of his divine power. And we can see in Jesus' healing ministry the unfolding of the kingdom of God, that all those hopes and dreams, prophecies and expectations throughout the ages reach their culmination, reach their climax in this one figure, the Son of God, made flesh for us. And so we see there the messiahship of Jesus in his divine healing and power. But there's a second level of meaning as well. Jericho, 2,000 years ago, was known kind of as a place of sin, as a place that didn't really practice the Jewish faith very profoundly, as a place kind of cut off from the covenant. Suppose you could say it was the Las Vegas of 2,000 years ago. So imagine Jesus is passing through Las Vegas and this blind man is sitting on the corner begging, looking for someone to help him, looking for love, looking for acceptance. And Jesus heals him not only of his physical blindness, but on this second level, heals him of his spiritual blindness, heals him of his sin. And when his eyes are opened, the very first person he sees is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, the eternal Word made flesh. And so it's on that second level of sight that we gather today, looking for that deeper vision that the Lord Jesus wants to give us. When we put on that lens of Jesus, when we put on that mystery of his death and resurrection, we begin to see things as they are. We begin to see the interior truth of reality, not just skimming along the surface. And so when a Christian looks at the rising sun, we see in that glory a symbol of the risen Christ. When a Christian looks at a homeless person, we see there not a derelict, not someone cut off from God, but rather Jesus Christ in his distressing disguise, looking for us. If an agnostic or an atheist walked into our church at the point of the Lamb of God and saw the priest talking to a piece of bread, "Lord, I am not worthy to receive you," he would think we were crazy. But because of our vision, we see not a piece of bread, but we see the living, sacramental, risen Christ in our midst. When we contemplate unborn life in the womb, we see there the preciousness of a child waiting to be born, growing in the glory of whom they have been called to become by the living God. And so to stand with Jesus is to look out at the world through the eyes of Christ and to see things as God originally intended them to be and to live that new life of conversion and of insight and of faith. There's a play on words at the end of the gospel. It says that the blind man followed Jesus on the way. And that word way is originally what Christianity was called before it was called Catholicism or Christianity or anything. It was simply called the way to be, the way to walk, the way to see, the way to act. That Jesus himself is the way that leads us to the Father. And so this blind man, having regained his sight, follows Jesus as the way, on the way, in the way of being fully human and fully alive. We pray for that grace then to put on Christ so profoundly that we see and love and speak and act in his name, in his spirit, as an extension of his life in this world. Because we have been baptized, we have been initiated into the mystical body of Christ. And if the church is the sacramental extension of Jesus through time and space, then we are called to act that out in the specificity of our lives. You may be the only person in this world that someone else encounters and finds Christ in them. And your voice may be the only voice of Christ that they hear. Your caring hands may be the only ones that allow mercy to reach another human life or to know acceptance and forgiveness. How important our vocation becomes when we look at it in that vast panorama of God's vision, of God's salvation. And so we pray for the grace to stand with Christ and even to stand in Christ and to see things as He sees them, to see the glory of God all around us, to perceive the inner depth of meaning of this Eucharist, the inner depth of the meaning of our own lives, that we're not here by accident, that life is not simply a collision of random events, but that there's an order, a pattern, and a harmony to life as it unfolds, and that we are called to live the gospel, embrace the teachings of Jesus, and to put on that vision of faith that allows us to see the truth of what the church teaches us. There is so much at stake for us in the times in which we live. Is not the Lord Jesus looking for faithful disciples who have His vision to articulate to the world today who they are and what we are about and what life really means? We pray for the grace and the courage and the vision to be those people and to be that sacramental extension of Jesus in the world today.